Grace be unto you, peace, from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's reading takes us into a rather rarely visited part of the theological or biblical forest, namely the second coming of our Lord. I remember in younger days singing, I think it was in the season of Advent, which is coming soon, singing with a good bit of gusto, a very singable song. Maybe you have sung it yourself, maybe not. Soon and very soon we will see. We are going to see the Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, we are going to see the Lord. Forgive the singing, whatever. It really is a singable song, and if you can add a little bit of a percussion to that, it's a song that kind of rocks the church a little bit, and an enjoyable song to sing. Had a good approach to Christmas, as it happens too. Some years later, though, my wife suffered a series of strokes, and among other things, strokes kind of ate away at her sight and a bit of her memory. Those were kind of not real giddy years. The song that stuck with her, though, is this song. But it sounded a little different. Soon and very soon, I'm gonna see the Lord. Soon and very soon, I'm gonna see the Lord. Soon and very soon, I'm gonna see the Lord. It's hard to listen to. And it was not despair that she was voicing. It was her faith, it was her anticipation, but also her realization. I don't know, that this song meant something to her in a way that it had not ever meant earlier. Very personal, very close. And as it happened, her intuition was not far off, and it wasn't so terribly far away that the Lord did call her home, and she did, and continues to see the Lord. While the coming of the Lord is not Paul's major focus in the reading that we had, it does form, however, the context for what he is saying, namely focusing on this interim period that we are living in, looking ahead to that day when we will see the Lord. And I kind of figure that probably based on some maybe tough pastoral experience, he issues some warnings to us, and particularly also us who serve in the church. He sees people who have lost or are in danger of losing their grip on the soon, and very soon we will see the Lord. He talks about folks who are, one translation, NIV, that I worked with, calls that people who are shaken in mind. Commentators suggest that the original context for shaken in mind really is talking about a ship that's torn from its moorings, either by a tornado or by a hurricane that will pick a ship up and take it out to the open sea, or we'll take a boat and we'll drop it on a parking lot, for crying out loud. Or another pertinent image, I suppose, is an astronaut that loses his or her moorings through the umbilical cord to the mothership. And then Paul introduces the lawless one, is the way the translation read, the man of lawlessness, who lives without the sense or desire of seeing the Lord particularly. And like his ancestor, the wily, the cunning one back in the garden pulls the moorings, and Adam and Eve find themselves outside the garden. There is a continuity of an issue here that has not gotten much better from Genesis 3 to 2 Thessalonians 2. And that is the word of warning for us, because this lawless one, Paul describes as one who exists, who lives, who haunts in God's temple. And we are the ones that the lawless one targets. And in our modern context, I suppose one expression of that is one who provides leadership in the Church of God and gets somehow fixated on numbers and on buildings and on programs and activities and on status in community and all of these things, and lose sight of the mooring that we have in God Himself. And as the pastor, so the congregation, so the members, and deaconess too, as far as that goes. Now, that's not all Paul has to say, and kind of comes in two glumps. The early one, and that's kind of what we're talking about, and then the later one, and we skipped over a few things. Paul drives us back to that mooring, to the Lord who himself is the standard and the pillar that does not move. The only thing that's really unique about what he's saying is that he's not just encouraging us to be very cautious about where we go, where we take things in church leadership. The point is not what we do and what we don't do, it's what the Lord continues to do with us. And in fact, as he's encouraging, one of the few places in Scripture where you have all three of the Trinity mentioned all together, it is a high power focus on us who are his servants. And so that soon and very soon is still a live song. After my wife's version, which I learned to sing with her, and have to this day not forgotten that sometimes you sing it with tears. At the same time, the song has pertinence, particularly in the fact that it does celebrate not just that we seek the Lord, but the Lord seeks us. And besides that, it's pertinent to the season. This is the Advent season where the one who comes is the one who came and the one who will come, and it is not a threat. It's a promise. It's the fullness of the promise. God does not leave his chosen people helpless on the sea, crashed on a parking lot, or wandering in our ministry. May the peace of God passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds closely moored to the Lord Jesus Christ.